the morning party.
Get ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning. I'll fix that. Don't worry.
Yeah, you will.
I'll fix it.
Mitch just
I got
broke
this.
Something. First thing today, and now the phone lines are...
Is
somebody calling us right
yes,
now?
Yes, somebody is
Random
calling
phone call.
Us.
Go to it.
Static.
Hello? Nope. Didn't happen.
They're not there. Oh. Static. There.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good
I
morning.
Love you.
Good
I just wanted to call you and tell you that. And happy, you too, Mateo. Yeah, you're the man. And Mitch, you are pretty awesome, my dear.
Aw, thank you.
Happy 6:15, 17 in the morning. Just wanted to howdy doody.
Howdy doody.
6:17 and 37 seconds in the morning to
That's
you.
That's right.
Oh, shoot. Y'all, I just needed to... Can I give a stupid early morning praise report real quick?
Yeah,
just
yes.
Real quick. Like, I know y'all haven't even officially started the show. I'm sorry.
No,
I just,
it's fine.
Go I got on. Really pumped because I drove... I actually didn't drive today. Mm-hmm. I've been really convicted, and I ran to work this morning. Isn't that crazy?
You ran to work?
I didn't, like, run until you have to jog, until you have to walk, until you can jog a little bit, and then walk, run, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it felt awesome.
That's good, man.
How far is work?
You know, like 2 miles, so it's not too
That's
bad.
That's not bad.
Okay, cool.
Now, when you got to work, were you all hot and sweaty?
I am, but I work at UNM, so there's, like, showers and things randomly placed across campus.
Perfect.
And there's always the duck pond right in the middle just in case that doesn't work
That's
out.
True. You could just jump in. And, you know, it's actually a little warmer today. Yesterday afternoon was awesome.
Yeah, it was nice.
It was so nice outside.
It really was. It was.
And it made me...
Wanted,
go ahead.
It is. I just wanted to tell you, and because I love you guys so much.
Hey,
and
we love you.
Yes, we do.
I love you, and good morning, and y'all have an excellent day. I apologize. That's probably not how you wanted to start the morning, but y'all are amazing.
That's actually a really good way.
Yeah, that was the best way to start the morning.
What it is. Love you. Peace.
Bye.
See ya.
It's kind of how you started the morning.
That's the best way.
Your CrossFit workout yesterday.
Yeah.
So.
Dude, yesterday afternoon was so nice outside.
Did you have to run outside?
No, but I walked out of work with my hoodie and my jacket on and then was like, what? So I took my jacket off and
You're
was like
sweating instantly.
It's so nice right now.
Yeah.
It made me long for spring.
Okay, during springtime, this is something you're going to learn about, the 505. You have to layer up because it's really, really cold in the morning. And then it gets warmer and warmer and warmer. So you have to just keep, like, you have to take off your snow coat. And then you have to take off your second sweater. And then your first sweater. And then you're just wearing a regular shirt by the end of the day.
I feel like you wear at least 3 more sweaters than a guy would.
No.
Because you're a girl and you're instinctively and innately cold.
Yes.
Not only cold temperature-wise, but your heart and your
Whoa.
Shoulder is constantly cold.
My left shoulder, specifically.
Not so much now that you're married, but when a girl is single, she got those cold shoulders. Boom.
I see what you did.
Yeah, there. You did.
Random phone call?
Random phone call.
And go. Static.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hello?
There's
We're having a hard time hearing you.
Could I request a song this morning?
Heck yeah, you can.
Yeah. Okay, and could you play Hearts in My Car for the Naked and Famous?
Say that one more time, it cut out.
Could you play Hearts Like Ours by the Naked and Famous?
Heck yeah, yes. We'll get to it.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
So, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, people are ready for Friday.
They are ready.
And we're ready there with you. We posted a picture. That's how ready we are.
Yeah, and I hear that.
Look out, world. We're ready.
I realized this morning that I save so much on makeup products when I do the morning show.
I do, too. I only put on, like, a foundation and some eyeliner stuff before I come in.
You wear eyeliner?
Wait a second. Is this thing on?
Yes. It's a bit awkward.
Thanks, Mitch. Wait, there's a phone call. We better jump to that real quick. Let's go.
I'm
there
worried
it is.
About you. Static.
Hello.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Good morning.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
What?
Boo.
Boo-hoo.
Boo-hoo.
It's okay. Don't cry. It's Friday.
It's just a joke.
Thank you, because it's Fun Joke Friday.
Fun
I see
Joke
what
Friday.
You did.
There it is.
Hey, may I request a song, please?
Yes, you can.
So many
artists in the ambulance.
By Thrice.
Yes, sir.
Got
we'll
it.
Get to it.
Thank you.
You guys have a good morning.
You
bless
too.
You now. Bless your heart now.
Phone lines are open 338-3700, but now that I say that, nobody's going to call.
Of course. Well, so. What we can do, we're going to put these songs in for our friends.
Yes.
And, yeah, we'll come back in just a little bit.
Hold on. You have a quick shout out to give.
Oh, well, I was going to do that during birthdays.
Okay, how about we do that during birthdays? What song did he request?
He wants Artist in the Ambulance.
Artist in the Ambulance. Where is that?
We might have to find it.
Got it.
There it is.
All right, you ready for this?
Yes.
Back with breaking news coming up in a few minutes right now. It's Thrice. This is the acoustic version. Is that fine?
It's going to have to be. It's going to be great.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
No!
Static.
Culture Shock. For more, log on to mystaticradio.com.
Good morning.
Good morning to you there.
Okay, up and at 'em.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Stay away from them.
Static Radio.
Turn on the news.
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
Breaking news, Mitch.
Hey.
Hey, breaking news. Special news bulletin right now.
Yes.
I have to give a shout out to my lovely and beautiful little niece, Eva.
Aww.
Because she got first place in her division at the North Pontotoc Beauty Pageant.
Oh!
And she is a princess. And Kimberly sent me the picture, and she is beautiful.
That is breaking news.
That is breaking news. Eva, I'm so proud of you, and now the nation is proud of you. Because everyone across the country, well, not everyone, but a lot of people across the country are listening.
Everyone across the country.
And Mitch is proud of you. Tell
her. I am. I'm super proud of you.
That's right.
Man.
And Dawn is proud of you too, Eva.
I have never won any pageants.
I know.
Surprise.
I'm just kidding. Surprise. Breaking news.
Breaking news. I've never won.
Well, Eva, you are a princess, and I'm so proud of you, and I love you. And that's the end of your shout out.
Aw.
Yay.
It doesn't have to be. We'll mention it.
I love you too, Kimberly. You're my sister.
Required.
That's it. No, not required. She's awesome.
Yeah, I...
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, are you trying to start a fight in my family? Are you trying to make my family beat each other's throats just because you come in here with your insults and you're like, I'm going to start a fight with everybody? It's not going to happen.
Dang it. That's my only tactic for today.
It's okay. Let's get to some breaking news.
All right, ready? Yes.
Guys, the Super Bowl is Sunday.
What?
That's right.
That's this Sunday?
That's this Sunday.
Ah.
Yeah, you need to remember.
Yeah, I do.
You have a ton of hot wings to make.
Oh my gosh, I think they're all out.
You have to kill so many chickens. Mitch, you have 2 days. Get on it.
All the chickens in my backyard have been waiting for this. Now I know why they're freaking out.
No, they're not waiting for this. They're waiting for you.
They're waiting for
you. They have got together. They have established a beachhead, and they are out for blood. You're going to come out there, and they have a plan because they have developed a system of communication amongst themselves using chirps and bird noises, and once you get out there, it's going to be the end of your life.
Oh, my God.
I know. Think about it. A new study finds that obesity gains its hold before a person turns 5. I saw this yesterday.
5?
Yeah, on the internet. I was out there on the interwebs with my internet, and I caught some news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was funny.
Caught some news.
Caught it.
Fisherman of news.
With my internet. A man is suing NASA for failing to investigate alien life on Mars. He's like, hey, you know what? You know what, you jerks? There's probably aliens up there, and you're not doing anything about it. So, sue.
They're way smarter, right?
Guys, scientists are smart, despite what we think.
I'm talking about the aliens.
Oh, yeah. Aliens are smarter.
Yeah, saw Independence Day.
Even if we were trying... Yeah, you did. Welcome to Earth! So even if we were trying to investigate it, they'd be smarter than us.
Yeah. And I saw Mars Attack. Oh, I know.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. Okay, here's the worst thing I've ever heard. A California snake breeder is under arrest after authorities had to rescue snakes from his home where there were hundreds of neglected snakes living in their own filth. Deputies said the stench was overwhelming even outside.
How do you feel about this?
There are four things wrong with this. Number one, snake breeder.
Wrong.
That
not
is,
okay.
What is that?
Not a
word. What is that phrase? Is that
a compound word that was just invented? Did you not know that those?
I'm pretty
existed?
Sure we could shorten it to sinner. Just kidding.
Snake
or,
breeder.
Or hellion or demon. Snake breeder. Are you kidding me? I'm just kidding. If you breed snakes out there, I'm just afraid of you. Number two, what's wrong with it?
Nothing personal.
This says that the snake that rescue snakes. Rescue? I think they
Dude, they're perfectly fine.
They replaced rescue with destroy. Or no, they should have. They replaced destroy with rescue as an accident.
They don't need help because they can fly.
We're going to cover that later.
No, they can fly.
Mitch found an article about how snakes take on UFO shapes to fly.
My least favorite thing in the world, your UFOs.
And oh my gosh.
Out of this world. Out of this world.
If I walked out, not of this world.
No.
If I walked out of this studio right now and there were hundreds of snakes in the air flying like UFOs, I would literally just say, into your hands I commend my spirit, Lord. Please just don't let me feel them biting me. Because I would be, that's my worst nightmare. That is my worst nightmare.
See, I'm not so afraid of snakes. You did really well when they were here the other day.
I know.
That was good.
I'm calm under pressure.
Yes, but I would lose it if they were in the shape of UFOs.
Flying. Going.
Flying. Yeah. They flatten out.
Oh my gosh.
And they catch air. And
would it look like the snake from Robin Hood?
Oh!
From Disney?
Yes.
And he's got the balloon and he's going.
Oh my. Your worst nightmare.
And he gets trapped in the mead
nightmare.
Barrel.
Third thing wrong with it.
Okay, third thing wrong with it. It says the snakes were neglected. Okay.
They're just fine by themselves. Yeah. They fly.
Best snake I ever seen was a dead one. And then here's the last thing. It says, oh my gosh, that they were living in their own filth. They're snakes, right?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Were they just pooping everywhere?
They must have been.
Oh, they were probably killing each other.
And they're shedding everywhere. They're shedding their skin everywhere. And
oh man.
It probably smells disgusting.
Now here's the thing. You know, in the creation story, like God put us in charge of taking care of all the animals.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. I know that the tempter probably wasn't just a snake. He was some kind of other. But then he got turned into a snake.
Yeah.
So that makes me not trust them. Plus, they're scary and. There's just too many stories I could go over, and my mom's scared of snakes, and she passed that on to me. It's hereditary.
It's hereditary. No, I understand.
It's a hereditary fear, and I don't have to defend it, okay? Accept me for who I am. I'm afraid of snakes.
Nope, yeah,
that's fine.
I accept you.
Especially UFO snakes. We'll talk about that later. Next month, they begin filming the sequel to Sharknado.
What?
That's right, Mitch. Your favorite movie is getting a sequel and you don't know how to react.
I don't
Go!
Know. Ah!
Perfect. Best reaction.
I've never seen Sharknado.
A worker at a McDonald's in Pittsburgh was taken into custody after she was discovered selling heroin hidden in Happy Meals. That's right.
Not okay.
She's just getting it to the people with a smile on the box.
Can you imagine? You go to McDonald's trying to be a little bit nostalgic and you get a Happy Meal because, come on. Those
you open
boxes,
it up and you're like, what's the toy?
Oh!
And then she looks at you and she goes, smile on the box, death in the needle. And you're like, okay. Can I see the manager?
No, just, no. You would just drive away and go home and be like, I don't know what to do with this.
What's this? Throw it away. A JetBlue flight attendant admitted, speaking of heroin, what's going on, people?
So
a JetBlue flight attendant admitted to smuggling over 2 pounds of heroin from Colombia to Orlando.
That's kind of a big deal. 2 pounds. How did they get two pounds? Did they swallow it? Or?
Gosh, I don't know. Okay. Ugh.
Sometimes people just swallow the, like, baggies.
What was the story you were talking about?
No, that was Celeste. She was talking about this guy.
Yeah.
Was... He had a bottle of like methamphetamine or something like that, and
okay.
It was in liquid form.
Okay, liquid meth.
Liquid meth, and he tried to prove he was trying to get through security and to prove that it wasn't anything bad, but it was. He drank some of it, and then he started screaming, my heart," and then he died.
And he was seizing and
he
stuff.
Yeah, and
gosh.
Then he died. That's terrible.
Guys, we're not supposed to take drugs for a reason.
Yeah. They're not okay.
Remember that.
Or drink them.
No matter how cool you think drugs are, they'll probably kill you.
Remember, hugs, not drugs. Go.
That's right. A New Mexico woman claims that her toe...
Oh, I've heard about this.
On her toe...
The Chimayo miracle.
...has appeared image of Jesus.
Okay.
On her toe.
I heard this story directly after the Grammys, and that's when I knew it was time for bed.
You know what I'm thinking, she said? She said, she looked down, she saw that thing, she said, holy hangnail! Oh, look out! Look out for me, I've got the jokes today!
Let me try that.
It's Friday! Oh. Look out! Sorry. An ammunition company is now selling bullets that divide into 3 bullets to give you a better chance of hitting your target. The zombie apocalypse is nigh, and we're just preparing, right?
Yes. Well, here's the thing. I've decided by watching all of the zombie apocalypse thingies,
yeah,
like the movies, shows, the only one that I really want to live through is Zombieland, because that looked fun.
Oh.
But and like the rules sounded all right, but every other zombie movie, I'm like, nah, just kill me.
Just kill me.
I'm good.
Don't do that.
Anyway.
Hey.
Breaking news.
Stop it.
I tried to stop.
Don't ruin
everything. Breaking news.
I'm going to throw up. We've been talking a lot about smuggling this morning, yeah, because apparently people
heroin
think they're smarter than the law.
Heroin.
Smarter than the law, man.
Smart heroin.
Well, between 2011 and 2012, New York City resident Joel Reichauer smuggled 39,548 piranhas.
What?
Into Brooklyn.
What?
This week he pleaded guilty in federal court to violating the Federal Lacey Act, which combats trafficking illegal wildlife fishing plants. The U.S. Department of Justice said Reichauer made this happen in three easy steps. Guys, here's three easy steps on how you, too, can smuggle piranhas into the United States.
I thought you were going to say 39,000 pounds, but then you said piranhas.
No, individual piranhas.
Individual piranhas.
39,548.
Oh,
three easy steps. His company purchased the fish from a Hong Kong-based tropical fish supplier.
Okay, one.
Reichauer had the supplier falsely label the fish as silver tetras, not piranhas.
Those don't look... Okay.
He brought them into the city. That's number three. That's your three easy steps.
That's it? That's all that took?
That's all it took. But the consequences are a little bitter towards this man. Reichauer will pay $70,000 in fines and restitution, and his company will serve 2 years of probation. Do not try to smuggle fish or wildlife or plants into this country.
They're really serious about that. Well, actually, we met a guy at the state fair a few years ago.
Yeah.
And he had like the taxidermied animals. And I asked him about the bear, and he said, oh, yeah, this bear was actually shot and killed illegally, and we had to go take it from the guy. And I said, why would someone do that? Apparently, their gallbladders, you know, they're like this big.
Yeah.
Gallbladders of a bear are worth $40,000. I don't know why. I didn't ask.
Well, we live in a crazy world. Guys, I don't know. Have you ever seen the movie Fargo?
I got through like 10 minutes of it.
Now, there's a crazy scene in it. It's okay. Famous. And it's where one of the guys puts another guy like in a wood chipper. And it is gruesome.
Okay.
Gruesome. It's a Coen Brothers movie, a dark comedy. But that part is, you're like, what is going? Check this out.
No.
A Vancouver, Washington man suffered serious injuries when he was sucked through an industrial-sized wood chipper earlier this week. Most of the man's body was crushed and shredded. In the accident.
That's serious. He's alive?
He lived.
Oh my gosh, you can live by going through a wood chipper. Okay.
Oh man, I guess his name was Arse. That was his last name. Is, yes. Climbed into the turned off machine to remove an object that had become stuck, not realizing that the man was inside. A coworker turned the machine back on. While inside, the man said he heard the engine's machine turn on, but by that time it was too late. He suffered a broken pelvis, 7 broken ribs, a shattered ankle, bruised liver, broken leg, a collapsed lung, a crushed knee, and a deep cut that runs the entire length of his body.
Oh my god.
He's expected to remain in the hospital for at least 3 weeks, but this man lived.
He's alive.
That's resilient, and if we need to pray for that poor dude.
Yeah.
Gosh, can you imagine that?
That is terrible.
Oh man. Speaking of terrible,
that
every
hurts.
Parent has a kid that is sneaky.
Yeah, it's usually the second kid.
I was the sneaky one.
Were you the second?
Well, no, I was the first.
Oh.
Kimberly was the sneaky one. She was the second. You're right, Mitch. She was the sneaky one, in case my mom's listening. It was Kimberly. Well, here's a new gadget that's supposed to improve your parenting, but it just seems a little creepy. Just light creepiness, you know.
Okay.
It's called Mother. Okay.
Ooh.
And you can program it to monitor almost anything and everything in your house and send the data to your smartphone.
That's not what I wanted.
Wow. The funny-looking pod comes with several motion cookies.
What?
That can be attached to everything from the front door to a toothbrush.
Wait, like actual like cookies or like...
I guess so. They detect movement, temperature patterns. Oh, temperature and patterns. And then the system analyzes the result and sends them to you. In other words... You could attach one of these little cookies to your kid's toothbrush to see if they really brush their teeth for a full 2 minutes. Or, you know, you could just be a parent and not rely on robots to do your job.
Pretty sure that's not super
effective. Hey, if this is appealing to you, I'm going to go ahead and say, nah, why don't you just
hold off on those?
Just mind things. Pay a little more attention to your kids.
Yeah, you try that one out first.
To your chillins.
Unless you are the Shroff family and you have 10 of them.
Well, that's different, isn't it?
Then you have to switch around every so often.
Yeah,
so
but some of their kids are older, so the older kids help.
Yes, it's
I imagine.
True. Yeah.
I don't know.
They're just all still, like, completely unable to help. No, they
oh,
all
my
help.
Goodness. Hey, there's a bug going around. This is going to be our final little bit of broken news.
Broken news. It is broken.
Breaking news. In a showdown between vitamin C and zinc supplements over who can better stop the coming cold, zinc supplements wins, hands down.
Okay.
Whoa. That's the result of a new study published this week by the Canadian Medical Association Journal. And there's only one other little step you have to take to ward off that nasty cold. Wash your hands.
Wash those hands.
An author of the study, University of Alberta, that's where he's from, said the best evidence for the prevention of the common cold supports hand washing and possibly the use of zinc supplements. But what about all that vitamin C we've been pounding down?
I know.
Not to mention the, I can't pronounce that word, echinacea.
Echinacea.
Echinacea, ginseng, other herbal and homeopathic remedies. Just a big waste of money. Are they?
Apparently. That's
yes,
awful.
Say
no!
The study's authors, who looked at 67 previous studies that checked out how differing remedies stack up against those pesky and resilient viruses that cause the common cold, with its friends the sore throat, sneezing, stuffiness, coughing, and just general cruddy feelings. The study found that basically nothing works to stop the onset of the common cold.
You just have to let it
except
hurt.
Zinc supplements and hand washing.
Zinc supplements. Too much zinc can hurt you.
Yeah?
That's what.
Well, too much of anything can hurt you.
Okay.
There you go.
Go there.
I just live juked you.
You really did.
I did. And my friends, that is the end of this morning's edition.
But now it's
breaking news.
6:46.
You know what that means?
That means that we have to get to something super important now. It's Friday. So do we go to...
We have to intro with the flashback.
Okay.
And the most important birthday.
Of them all.
Yes.
Not this guy singing. Are you ready for this?
I hope so. We're listening to NSYNC, so I hope there's a point to this right
because
now.
Today is the best birthday of them all.
Yeah?
Second to Jesus, because that's the summer.
Okay, well, that's Christmas. We get that, Mitch.
Today is Justin's birthday.
It's JT's birthday, guys.
Like the Justin, J-R-T, Justin Randall Timberlake.
Justin Randall Timberlake. His middle name is Randall.
Born in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yep.
On this date. How many years ago, Teo?
I don't know.
On this date.
Are we really doing NSYNC and Justin Timberlake for
Flashback
Friday?
Yes! Woo! I had full control.
I can't tell you guys how disappointed I was on Wednesday when Steve-O and Mitch came into the office and they were like, hey, man. I said, Matt, Flashback Friday, and then Mitch immediately erupted. It's JT's birthday, so we're going to do JT and NSYNC for Flashback Friday! And then I had to load all this music yesterday.
Don't you even act like you didn't enjoy it. You were listening to it and jamming out, and you know the words!
What are you talking about?
You know the words. Sing it with me.
I don't know any of these words.
Sing it.
Don't misunderstand.
Don't misunderstand. What I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See,
whatever.
You know, so today.
I had two sisters, and this is all they listened to.
Whatever.
It's not my fault.
Whatever.
It's not my fault, America! Running out of time.
That was Justin. Good job.
Thanks.
Let it go. Let's let it go.
Today, how old is he?
He is 33 years young.
33. Justin Timberlake's 33, guys. You want to hear a crazy statistic?
Yes.
Found this out from a producer buddy of mine. In Nashville, via Dawn. Do you know how much JT clears every night after a concert?
Oh, how much?
And this is profit. This is straight profit. So everybody listening,
so it's not.
You have to remember when you do like a tour, you have to pay all of your workers, and that doesn't just include like your dancers or your musicians, but this is like your catering, your crew. You have to pay for the venue, you have to pay for security, you have to pay the promoter, you have to pay your manager, you have to pay so many different people,
so
okay?
So a few places that he performs, Madison Square Garden,
right.
The Kodak Theater.
So imagine that. Imagine those giant venues.
Is it Kodak? Is that what it is?
Probably.
Okay.
giant venues. What would be? Where would he play if he played here in Albuquerque? Where would he play?
Ugh. Unfortunately, we have some really crappy venues.
Yeah.
I don't know. Tingley would be the biggest.
So is that the outdoor one?
No, it's indoor.
Okay. Well, imagine
Journal.
Imagine the biggest venue here in Albuquerque, and you have to pay to have a show there and all that stuff. Okay.
Isleta would cost a lot.
All right. So, this is how much he clears after all of that. This is profit. You ready? $1.5 million a night. A night, people.
A night.
That's
for real.
But
you know what? He is worth it.
Is he worth it?
He is.
All right, can we move on to a different birthday so we can take a little break?
Today also, you know what? Let me go ahead and get a few things ready. Today is also Baseball Hall of Famer. I don't even know his name.
Can you pronounce that?
Baseball Hall of Famer Nolan Ryan.
Oh!
Do you know who that
is? Yeah, I actually know who Nolan Ryan is because he was like the biggest baseball guy when I was a kid.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and so he...
So, as a kid...
Yeah. That was in there. I'm going to say he's 64.
Dude, you're close. He's 67.
Dang!
Sorry.
Almost had it.
You did. Also, today is this guy's birthday.
What is it? Hang on. I'll get it. Wait, is this an old song?
Older, not old, old.
Maybe there's somebody out in their car right now just screaming at me.
Freaking out. Come on, you know this.
I don't know, though.
Ready?
Oh, Mumford and Sons?
Yes.
Come on. I thought it was an old song.
No.
Man. Well, which
older,
Mumford
as in like 20...
or Son is it?
It is there's 40 Marcus of them. Mumford.
Is that the main one?
Yes.
He's married to Carrie Mulligan.
He is married to Carrie. Want to know a fun story?
Yes.
Carrie Mulligan and Marcus Mumford grew up together.
Yes.
And they were pen pals with each other. Stop it right now.
They were pen pals?
They were pen pals growing up.
Pen pal, that's a lost thing.
And then...
Forgotten art.
They both made it to the big time, and now they're married.
Nice.
So, this guy's birthday today on the same day as Justin Timberlake.
Okay, Justin Timberlake's 33. I'm going to say Marcus Mumford is 31.
And you're wrong. He's 27.
What?
What have you accomplished with your life? What have I accomplished with my life?
Amen. What have you accomplished, Mitch?
I don't know.
I feel like I've done great things. I feel like it's almost time for us to go steal the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, stop it right now.
That's high praise. High praise.
Stop it.
What's happening?
I'm looking for something.
Oh, okay. Is
ready?
This another birthday music?
Yes, it is.
Let's do it.
Are you ready?
I am. Are you?
No.
Okay.
Now, this is a very... This isn't the original version.
Okay.
But try and make it up.
I don't know what this is.
This is the theme to Hello, Dolly.
Oh. Was that a musical?
Yes.
I'm not good with musicals.
Okay.
I know, meet me in St. Louis, and that's about it.
I love that movie.
But you know who would know, Stever? And he is still out sick, everybody.
Please keep praying for him. That guy has the flu.
Say a prayer for him. We need that man.
Yeah. Well,
the cave's lonely without him.
It really is. It's dark, and it's actually, I was going to say cold, but it's actually really warm in there.
Yeah.
Today is Carol Channing's birthday.
Okay.
How old is Carol Channing?
Ugh, no, 72.
You're on the right track.
Really?
But she's 93.
Whoa! Okay.
So that
just a little off. She's probably pretty happy with me right now because I didn't.
Yeah. Well.
Call her out for being almost a century old. But you know, maybe she's still upset.
Possibly.
Now the story of a wealthy family. Who
Arrested Development.
Yes.
Is it Jason Bateman?
No.
Choice. Together.
Oh, what's his name? He plays Tobias.
Nope.
No. Michael Cera.
Nope.
That he
it's
plays a different guy.
Development.
Will Arnett?
Nope.
Portia Rossi?
Yes!
Portia de Rossi?
Yes.
All right.
Is that how you say Rossi?
Maybe.
Portia de Rossi is also... it was Ellen's birthday the other day, so I didn't know that, but they have really close birthdays.
Oh, okay.
Portia de Rossi.
Okay.
From Arrested Development.
Oh, gosh. I don't know how... I'm seriously trying to figure it out. Okay.
Math.
Oh, no. Math is like snakes. Math is the snake of the classroom.
I agree.
Sorry. Snake is the math of the animal kingdom. She is 38.
Ooh, she today is 41.
41. Yes. I was kind of close.
Also.
Yeah.
Ready for this?
I hope so. Are you? Now another one?
Yes.
Another Arrested Development birthday.
Yes.
Okay, who did I not name? Is it the girl that played Maybe?
No.
Buster?
Nope.
Marta?
Nope. Want me to give
George
you a hint?
Senior?
Want me to give you a hint?
Who?
There are two of them.
Oh, Lucille.
Yes.
Now one.
Yes.
Yeah. Because Lucille's two's birthday was already, it already happened.
Liza Minnelli.
Recently, yes.
Today is Jessica Walter's birthday. How old is she?
Okay. Okay, she's old.
Yeah, she old, y'all. That girl is old! Oh, she old!
To stop.
She old! Old man! 63?
73. Oh, man, 63 is not old. If you're out there and you're in your 60s, I'm not calling you old. But 73 is old! Dang! What?
All the 73-year-olds just turned off their...
Why am I listening to this anyway? How do you turn this off?
Because it's early, and let's face it.
It is early. they tuned in for me saying old.
Yeah.
Any more birthdays?
Yeah, from Drugstore Cowboy?
No idea.
Kelly Lynch.
No idea.
She is...
Yes.
Possibly...
24.
55.
Okay.
Anthony LaPaglia.
I connect you.
Anthony LaPaglia.
Thank you, Jim.
Is...
What was he in? Does it say?
No, nothing.
Oh, good. 50? 55. You can always just throw out a 50 and you'll not be close or be very close. 50.
Today,
50.
from the wife of Django.
Django and Chain?
Django and Chain.
Oh.
As well as Scandal.
Oh, the main girl?
Yep.
I don't know her, but Chrissy would know.
Yeah, this is
Chrissy! Her.
He needs you at this moment.
I don't know. I don't know her name.
Her name is Kerry Washington.
Kerry Washington. Okay, let me think. Django. Dun, dun, dun. I say she's kind of young. 31.
Ooh, close. 37.
Ah! Whoa. Okay.
And from Good Will Hunting, this is the last birthday. Good Will Hunting, Gross Point Blank.
Okay.
Minnie Driver.
Okay. Minnie Driver. I think she is 44.
You are... Unfortunately for you, you are completely right.
Really?
Yes.
She's 44?
She's 44.
That was a guess. I did it. Guys, I did it. Hey. 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 I did it.
Mini Driver.
Turn this down. I hate this song.
Well, it's 4 seconds. I have to. Ready?
You're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me.
Sandlot. Got it.
Okay.
That was it.
That's
all the birthdays. But today we have a few things to say. Oh, wait, I forgot to tell you. Today is day 31 of 2014, and there are 334 days remaining.
Well, we needed to know, and you left it out.
Yeah, that was mean.
It was mean.
I'm sorry.
I checked my Facebook, and I don't have any close friends' birthdays today, but there are a couple of my...
It's Justin's birthday!
Yeah, so I feel like we can just celebrate with that. What happened in history on this day, Mitch?
In history, back in 2002, a large section of the Antarctic Larsen ice shelf began disintegrating, eventually consuming about 1,254 square miles over a 35-day period.
Good grief.
Back in 2005...
I want to read to you what happened. Because this is important. In 2005, actor Keanu Reeves received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
No!
Steve-O would be going nuts right now. I miss you, Steve-O. I wish you were here. In 2010, Avatar became the first film to gross over $2 billion worldwide.
Avatar, like the one by... Oh, Avatar.
Yeah,
got James Cameron.
The number one movie of all time. And in 2011, just a couple years ago, a winter storm hit North America for the second time in the same month, causing $1.8 billion in damages across the United States. And we know about that right now. Atlanta's in just a... icy lockdown.
Yeah.
There's snow everywhere. The whole East Coast is just freezing.
Yes.
And it's kind of warming up here, which is nice.
Well, that's kind of bad news, actually.
Let's see. Today is Appreciate Your Social Security Check Day.
Woo!
Today begins the Chinese New Year.
Yeah!
Guys, it's the year of the horse. That's exciting. I can't wait for it to be another animal next year. Today is Fun at Work Day.
I think last was, oh, it was the dragon. Fun at Work Day. Yeah, that's us today. We're going to have so much fun.
Today is National Preschool Fitness Day. So, aww. Kimberly, I guess you better get Emma fitnessing.
Yeah.
Work on your fitness, Emma. Today is Backward Day. Whatever you
criss-cross
do today,
day.
Try
jump,
doing it
jump.
Backwards. So, what you just did, do that backwards. Say it backwards. You can't. Today
mudge,
is also,
mudge.
And this will make everyone happy, today is National Hot Chocolate Day.
Everyone.
That's right.
Yes.
And we are going to celebrate Flashback Friday today.
It's a good one.
With Justin Timberlake.
Justin Randall Timberlake is 33 years old. It's a Flashback Friday. I have more than just NSYNC. Do not worry.
Yeah, she has some flashback music.
For real.
Because this kid,
he's been around
he's
for
been
a while.
Singing for a long time.
Yes.
So we got some videos.
And it's now 7 o'clock, so we got to get to some legality stuff.
We do.
And also coming back, Sam Swan.
Sam Swan from the North New Mexico Baptist Convention.
There you go.
There you go.
It might be North.
Maybe. North and South.
Okay, enjoy a little bit of this. We'll be right back. Team Awesome Morning Party?
No!
Static.
Traffic with Matt and Mitch and Sam Swan from the Baptist Convention.
Yes. Good morning. Do the traffic.
Only I can do it because only I can see it.
That's the only reason.
But if you're driving out there, you know because you can see also that there's not a lot going on. We have the construction at I-25 in Paseo and everything else is green, which means go. But don't go fast and don't go while you're texting or talking on the phone. Calm down.
Calm down now.
Just drive.
Just drive safely.
Relax and drive to work. Get yourself there safely.
Word of advice. Do not get into a car accident.
That's a great word.
That's great advice.
That's a great word, Mitch.
Word.
I feel like that was from your spirit.
What's the words? Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch.
Woo!
And Solomon's Porch located on the Calvary campus, 4001 Osuna Road. Call them if you want, 505-338-3669.
Yeah!
Hey, today got some good stuff going on. You ready for this?
Oh, this is old school.
This is bringing it back. Flashback Friday, also known as Happy Birthday Day to Justin Timberlake.
Good grief.
Oh, that's Brittany. Justin!
That's Justin. This is when he was on Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah, I remember those days.
He's singing. Yeah, who all? Okay, so it was Justin, it was Britney Spears, it was JC.
Ryan Gosling,
Christina Aguilera.
Yes.
So
yeah.
A lot of those kids that are huge now, huge
and then
stars.
The class before that, her name, I just lost her name. Dang, what's her name?
Jessica Biel?
No, she wasn't on there, was she?
I don't think so.
She was in the Honey, I Blew Up the Kids movie as the babysitter.
Oh,
I can't think of her name. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
I can almost picture that.
She's in Bedtime Stories. She's becomes the girlfriend of Adam Sandler in that movie.
Oh!
What's her name? That's the one I'm talking about. I had it in my on
Drew
my lips.
Drew Barrymore.
No.
Adam Sandler's in.
We'll remember it later.
When I remember it, I'll tell
it's
you.
It's funny to
anyway,
think
she
about,
was on there too.
Yeah, it's funny to think about how so many big stars have gone through. Like, you go back and you look in their, I guess, their filmography,
yeah.
TVography.
Yeah,
whatever,
yeah.
And there's Disney back there.
Yeah. So much Disney.
Well, even if you think even way, way back old school, Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kurt
yes.
Russell was mm-hmm. a child actor contracted to Disney.
Weird.
And Jodie Foster, she did a bunch of Disney stuff too. So it's that's a juggernaut.
Yeah, it is
of make talent.
It, making so much money.
But this guy, classy, classy.
You always got to bring it back to JT.
Well, how could you not?
I don't know,
guys. I put up the picture. Okay, it's Flashback Friday. It's Justin Timberlake's birthday. We're celebrating with NSYNC. You just heard Mickey Mouse Club. What is this
is
Mitch?
Star Search. This
Star
is
Search.
Yeah. Mickey Mouse Club.
This,
even earlier.
How early? Wait,
apparently,
how did you find this?
Apparently, in that time in America, we were short on stars, so we had to do a search for them to find some. Yeah.
Yes, Star Search.
Man, so this is when he's a little kid.
Yes.
Fresh out of Memphis.
He's probably 7 or 8 right here.
Wow.
Because Britney did Star Search, too.
She did, and they actually competed together.
You are a super fan.
I'm sorry.
I'm not. I'm wondering if I need to call the police because this is creepy.
Hashtag sorry, not sorry.
Oh.
I posted that we're doing Flashback Friday with JT, and here's some of the responses.
Oh, good. Can't wait to hear this.
Well, Stephanie Swan Wilkerson.
Yes.
She likes it.
Yes, because she loves JT.
Michael Harvey says, protest.
Wrong,
I now know why Steve-O took time off. TJ says, Randy Newman.
He took time off because he's also celebrating Justin's birthday.
Oh, in
he made
silence.
A two-day holiday.
He put a piece of duct tape on his mouth.
Because he knows that only Justin should be speaking.
It's
oh
a silent
my gosh.
Protest. Mitch.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Yes.
No.
And Crystal says, really? I wish I could listen at work. Oh, yeah.
I almost texted my daughter, Stephanie, because
really?
She was an NSYNC fanomaniac.
Oh, right oh. here.
Yeah.
We would have gotten along.
Well, yesterday when we were loading up the music, Mitch and I were reflecting on TRL back in the day.
TRL! Oh, yeah.
For you kids out there, MTV totally used to play music videos.
Yeah.
And that's why they called it music television.
And they
that's
had right. a countdown every single day or Monday through Friday of the top 10 videos of that day. And people got to go online and they got to vote on the top 10. And every single day, it was a battle. It was crazy.
I had forgotten about this, but it was NSYNC and Backstreet Boys number one and number two every single day.
And most of the time, NSYNC won, but when Backstreet Boy won, when they won, I was like, what? Who's not voting?
Yeah.
Who isn't on their game today?
Yeah, now, Mitch, I want you to tell everybody what you would do when NSYNC was on. She told me something yesterday, and I guffawed.
I laughed. Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
I laughed yesterday.
Do tell.
Sometimes when I knew that NSYNC was going to be on TRL, I would skip school and stay home so I could see NSYNC
she
on TRL.
She would skip school, Sam Swan. She would skip school to watch them on TRL.
But I had good enough grades that my mom just let me.
Oh, my gosh.
So... And I didn't care. I was like, NSYNC is going to be on TV. And I only did it twice for Rosie O'Donnell. Because do you remember the Rosie O'Donnell show?
I do remember that.
Stop it!
They made an appearance on the Rosie O'Donnell show?
Yes.
And you did?
I skipped school twice for Rosie O'Donnell.
When you were a kid, your priorities were shot.
Oh, my. No, what happened to skipping school because you didn't want to go to school?
Yeah.
NSYNC
was on the TV.
So, Mitch, she was the little girl.
No, TiVo did not exist.
No,
DVR did not exist.
Did not. You could have taped it.
You could have taped it with VHS.
Yes, but that wasn't always reliable.
Maybe oh, not. Mine was.
Mine
yeah,
was
I had
not.
A, we had a good
We
system.
Had a TV that, we had this old school TV. It was huge and it had like the tubing inside.
Oh, yeah.
And you had to you hit it and let it warm up when you turned it on.
Mitch,
so we
everybody
had
those TVs.
I had to be home.
I'm sorry, I hate to tell you this, but hitting it doesn't help it warm up.
Oh, I hit it all the time.
It just takes out your frustration. In fact, it knocks the tubes loose and you have to have a repairman come and fix them.
Great.
It takes longer to warm up then. So you messed up your television.
Mitch was the girl. Literally.
Literally.
If NSYNC got number two, Backstreet Boys got number one, she was the girl sitting in her room screaming at the TV saying, who didn't vote? Who didn't vote?
You know, I can see that.
I was the girl online because AOL dial up, making really, really mean comments to anybody who did not vote.
Did you vote? No. Over. What's over? Our friendship!
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
I went into NSYNC chat rooms. My username up until I was in ninth grade. I'm revealing way too much.
Yeah.
My username up until ninth grade was NSYNC02088.
Oh, my gosh. I think Stephanie's was NSYNC Girl.
Yeah, I couldn't get that
for
one.
Something like
it was,
that.
If I got that, it was
NSYNC
Girl
87.
Yeah,
it had a bunch of numbers because everybody in the country wanted to be NSYNC
Girl.
Good grief. My heavens.
I don't want to talk about this. I'm done.
Yes, you do want to talk about it. You want to talk about it forever. Yesterday, she was just gushing all this stuff. And then NSYNC did this, and then JT did this, and then Lance came out, and then JC.
You know, really, when you think about it, NSYNC and Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
That was kind of the beginning of a new.
Yeah, don't talk to me
a
about
new
One
genre.
Direction.
Of,
it was,
and there was a bunch of boy bands that came out after that fizzled. Those
Actually,
two really made it, but
I
like
know.
98 Degrees, they were okay.
They were okay.
But they missed the wave. They came out after the big wave of Backstreet and NSYNC.
LFO wanted those summertime girls.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Abercrombie and Fitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw them live.
Of course, the original boy band is the Osmonds.
Yeah, and then when I was a kid, it was New Kids on the Block.
Yeah, New Kids on the Block.
See, that's what I was going to say. If Steve were here, he would be disagreeing with you wholeheartedly because New Kids on the Block, He says
that's the beginning.
That's the beginning for him.
But really, it was Jackson 5 Jackson and the Osmonds. Osmond Brothers.
Yeah, Jackson 5 back in the day.
And if you want to go way back, it's the Williams Brothers. Andy Williams and his brothers were kind of a boy band in the 60s.
And if you want to go way back, I'm pretty sure Noah's Sons on the Ark. They probably had to sing because they were so bored.
Yeah.
Look at that elephant. It just pooped everywhere.
Yeah.
You do the harmony.
But at least they were addressing the elephant in the room.
Ah!
See what I did there? Where's my drum?
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening to Cry Me a River's play. Oh.
Okay. Let's transition a bit, shall we?
Okay, sounds good.
Because some big stuff happened this week, and we wanted to wait and talk about it with Mr. Sam Swan here.
Sounds good.
And now that he's here, we're going to talk about it. Because you see, my friends, something huge happened this week that's never happened.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay.
Until now. And what that is, Pope Francis is on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine. This is why this matters. Do you remember a few months ago, Mitch, Sam, when the Boston Bomber got on the cover of Rolling Stone and we were all talking about it? It's like they made him look like a rock star.
Yeah, they did.
Well, this is like the polar opposite thing.
Yeah.
Because now you have the Pope.
Yeah.
On the cover of Rolling Stone, and it's like, well, wait, the Pope?
Is this like South Park where they just don't care and they will make fun of anything or
advertise
anything?
It's super surprising because, Inside the Pope's Gentle Revolution is the name of the article in Rolling Stone. It's written by a guy named Mark Benelli. He went inside the Vatican to report on Francis's swift break from tradition.
Yeah.
In less than a year since his papacy began, Pope Francis has done much to separate himself from past popes and establish himself as a people's pope. And, you know, we've talked about it on here. Like, he's going out undercover at night and feeding, like the homeless and helping people out and blessing. He's kissing people that have, like, debilitating diseases and disfigurements, you know. So he's going out and being the hands of feet, arguably. And they're calling it now in Rolling Stone a gentle revolution. This is like a big deal to me.
Is.
To me, it's just so surprising because on Rolling Stone, I'm used to seeing like the Red Hot Chili Peppers with, you know, nothing on or
really pictures of the greatest guitar players in the last century or whatever. Yeah.
Or, you know, young adult lady princess, you know.
Right. But this has nothing to do with music.
No.
Nothing.
They're calling it the gentle revolution. And this article says, surprising desk clerks at the hotel where he'd been staying during the papal conclave by showing up to pay his own bill, panicking bodyguards by swigging from a cup of mate, the highly caffeinated tea-like beverage popular throughout South America, handed to him by a stranger during a visit to Brazil, cracking up cardinals with jokes at his own expense hours after being elected. to those assembled at his first official dinner as Pope, he deadpanned, "May God forgive you for what you've done."
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so what I think was happening is the Pope, like the position of Pope has been such like a polarizing but solemn and stoic figure for so long, and now it's like you've got a Pope that's actually getting out there and loving on people, doing things, and it's just rocking everybody's world. They're like, how this man of such high prestige and you know, and think of like Vatican security. We think we got security here for the president, man. Over there it's like
crazy.
Yeah. And then like
he's treated like a head of state.
Yeah, he is.
He's treated like his security detail, it's a big deal.
Never has a Pope made so many headlines.
No.
It's kind of crazy. In fact, he's making so many headlines that people are seemingly making up fake things about him, saying that he's he said that there's no hell, and like then you go to the sources and they're not reputable at
all.
But people are posting it like it's the truth.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine recently that posted something about how the Pope said he wanted a one world religion and there was no hell and stuff. And it supposedly took place at this third something of the Catholic Church or whatever. And so then I looked into it, and they haven't had one of those big conventions or whatever that it was talking about. They had the second one in the, like, 60-something years ago, and they've never had a third one.
So it doesn't make sense.
So it was all, like, quotes out of context, and they're making up situations that he said it in. And so we want to know what you guys think. We're going to post up. The Pope is on the cover of Rolling Stone. Why does this matter? Does it matter to you? You can comment on our Facebook. I'm about to post the article, and it looks like we have a phone call.
Let's see what they got to say. No, they don't.
They said no.
Nothing. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Give us a call, 338- 3,700. The Pope is on the cover of Rolling Stones magazine. I think that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
So let us know.
You've been around a little longer than us.
Just a little.
Just a little bit.
Not much.
What does this say to you? Because I know you've seen, you know, more than one Pope.
Uh-huh.
So, like, what is it, you know?
Well, I think, for one thing, I think the fact that he's on the cover of Rolling Stone in the old days was known primarily as like a trade magazine for music industry or reporting on the music industry. At least what I remember it to be. So the people on the covers were all going to be related to the music industry somehow. But now it's sort of evolved into this more of a report on pop culture. Mm-hmm. So it's going to cover a wide range of things. And right now, to me, it seems that the Pope is doing some really I like the quiet revolution description.
Yeah.
He's doing some revolutionary things from the office of the Pope that has never been done, or at least not in recent history done. And so it makes sense that publication like Rolling Stone mm-hmm. would want to cover that because he's a hot topic right now.
Yeah, totally.
Not that he's not ever talked about ever. The Pope has not ever talked about, but this new Pope, he's done some really unusual things. And I you know, on one hand, I think that it's kind of cool that I believe in servant leadership, and because I think that's what Jesus demonstrated. And if the Pope is going to teach serving and doing stuff like that, and talk about God and serving folks and
he's
loving people, he's doing it too. So I think it's kind of a revolutionary idea.
What I'm kind of confused about is why some people are so against it. Like I've heard from multiple people, this isn't just one person, but from multiple people say like, oh, well, he's obviously the Antichrist or something like that. Like
yeah.
just because he's making news headlines and it's for doing good things, people automatically have stepped back and been like, whoa, who's this guy? Because we don't hear much. We never heard a whole lot about the other popes until they died.
Yeah.
So this one,
or until they said something controversial.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
or that the mainstream media considered controversial.
Well, and this Pope too has had his own share of controversy. Like it says here, by eschewing the papal palace for a modest 2-room apartment. So he's not even in the palace; he's in a 2-room apartment.
Yeah, because he's not.
By publicly scolding church leaders for being obsessed with divisive social issues like gay marriage, birth control, and abortion, he famously replied, "Who am I to judge?" When they were like, he also said, if I remember the article correctly, he was just like, as a church, we are so obsessed with these things that we're missing out on so much other stuff that we could be doing. And perhaps most astonishingly of all, by devoting much of his major written teaching, his first major written teaching, to a scathing critique of unchecked free market capitalism, the Pope revealed his own obsessions to be more in line with the boss's son. I don't know who that's referencing.
Probably
Jesus.
Referring to Jesus, yes, in a non-respectful way.
Yeah, but it's super interesting. So it's been, I think, the biggest story about the Catholic Church since I've been a kid has been all of the like sexual abuse charges and all that stuff. So I guess for me, that's what sticks out the most is like I'm used to seeing the Catholic Church, and I have tons of Catholic friends, you know, but I'm like seeing the church cast in a negative light,
yeah.
you know, like so much shady stuff going on with priests and choir boys and from
and that,
the top to the bottom,
headlines.
You know, exactly. That
yeah.
sells papers. But now to see the Pope and the Catholic Church represented in such a positive light on the cover of Rolling Stone,
it takes
like,
you back. You're like, whoa,
it does
what?
Take you back. And I think it's taken a lot of people off guard. And maybe that's why so many people are real quick to, they're like, end times! End yeah. times!
Obviously. You know? That's what they jump to. Obviously, it's end times. It's about to happen.
You know, it always cracks me up when people start waving the end times banner.
Yeah.
Because, you know, technically, when Jesus, when his feet disappeared into the clouds,
we entered the end times.
We were at the beginning of the end times. So we have been, yes.
We've been
we
there
are
for a
in
while.
The end times.
Welcome!
Welcome. I'm glad you finally caught up to us.
Phone lines are open, 338-3700, if you want to give us a call and talk about the Pope.
Yeah.
We and posted the article.
You know, it can be a divisive thing, because
yeah.
I know, you know, there's agreements and disagreements on all sides of this thing. We got a phone call?
Static.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think this new Pope has been hanging out with Billy Graham.
It seems like it.
I know, right? Because he's actually, you know, he's getting out there, he's doing things, he's, like, making a difference.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, because usually the Pope and, you know, Catholic leaders like that, they presume themselves to be holy or righteous and, you know, kind of above everybody. And it's like, no, you know what? We're all the same sinners, same flesh. We're all the same. You know, we're all disciples of Christ, you know, if we put our faith in, right, and rely on him. So this is good for their church. It really, really is. And if he's, you know, being such an impact that even the secular world, you know, Rolling Stones is taking notice, I'm glad. I'm really happy for them. And also, you know, like you were saying about, you know, all the negative headlines, you know, with all the sexual abuse and stuff, mm-hmm, perhaps they're going to start being more accountable to each other.
Yes.
You know, they're going to open the doors and say, okay, I'm a sinner. Now I can be held accountable. You guys have your eyes on me. You know, it's the whole Billy Graham thing.
That's a really solid point. Okay. There's a lot of similarities between the two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Billy Graham, right on. Okay. Talk to you guys later.
Hey, thanks for calling.
505-338-3700. We posted the story at Facebook if you want to get there and check it out.
Yeah, please do. We're going to take a break, listen to some music for a little bit, and then we're going to come back with more on this Pope making the cover of Rolling Stone. Also a story about how snakes are trying, they're playing out like they're UFOs, and I'm terrified.
Both terrifying.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Yes.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static Radio.
It's in the soul to feel such things.
Don't touch that dial. Listen to
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Careful traffic.
Hey, y'all, it's me.
Grandpa Friend,
you come give you a traffic report now. It's gonna take a minute because I read slow. Let me find my glasses.
Oh, we don't have them. You all right, Grandpa Friend?
I dropped them now. Hang on. All right, y'all out there. We got the construction at I-25 and Passaic. Y'all be careful now. We got, if you going eastbound on Passaic now, it's slow. That's down to like 20 miles an hour down there by Coors. Speaking of Coors, over yonder at Coors Boulevard, I-40 got an accident.
Oh, no.
Happened 7:50, not long ago. Traffic getting backed up around there. And then you got accident, nothing. Right lane block, I-40 East at 4th Street, exit 159A. So y'all be careful out there. I'm going to go back up my mountain now.
Thanks, Grandpa.
Where's that Steve-O?
Steve-O is out. He's taking a much-needed
like
vacation.
I don't like you.
What?
You got
Grandpa Friend,
you
am...
got untrustworthy eyes, friend.
Look
I like
them.
Sam. That's my boy.
They're brown.
Whoa.
Eyes.
I'm going to go. I'll see you later now.
Thanks, Grandpa.
Bye, Grandpa.
You know, Sam Swan, I really feel like my first impression was a downer.
Your first impression?
Was a downer with Grandpa
Was that
Friend.
Grandpa Friend?
That was Grandpa Friend, and I had the worst first impression in the world with him.
Wait, did he do traffic?
He did do traffic.
Okay, let me redo it. Just,
okay.
Guys, there are accidents. Coors Boulevard north at I-40. Also, I-40 east at 4th Street. Be careful around there. Traffic is getting backed up.
Thank you, traffic. Brought to you by Solomon's Porch. I am so upset right
and
now.
And Grandpa Friend, apparently.
And Grandpa Friend, because he just comes in and ruins my day, but he brings you traffic. And basically, you
he
said
he brought me a cup of coffee
said.
From SOPA.
That's so sweet.
Thanks, Grandpa Friend.
Solomon's Porch, located on the Calvary Campus, 4001 Osuna Road, 505-338-3669, if you want to call them.
Did he bring you anything?
Insults.
That means he doesn't trust you.
Yeah, he said, I have untrustworthy eyes.
He said that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
I was here when it happened, but I was tweeting something when he said that, so I was sort of only half listening, which I do that anyway.
That's fine.
I only half listen. That's what my wife says.
Today is Flashback Friday, and I know that God must have spent a little more time on me so I don't have to take what Grandma Friend said.
Mitch.
Justin Timberlake.
No, you have to listen to this song in context, Mitch. You can't just take pieces of it and apply it to yourself.
Can this be true? Tell me, can this be real?
No.
They were singing to you, weren't they?
Cannot put into words. Yes, they were.
Are you
I
crying?
I think I hear some crying.
She's crying.
There's no crying in radio.
If the audience can hear you cry, you're doing it wrong. Guys, we're having a great discussion on Facebook and here over the airwaves. We're talking about the Pope.
The Pope.
Pope Francis has made the cover of Rolling Stone. People are baffled. Some people are happy. Some people are really upset. And some people are already heading down to the bunker because they're convinced it's the end times.
Man. 505-338-3700.
Yeah.
Tell us your ideas
and
thoughts.
We got people
flying on Facebook, telling us great opinions. We got Sam Swan here in studio. He's going to tell us a little more about books.
Tell us wisdom.
He's going to drop that wisdom bomb.
It sounds almost contradictory to hear Sam Swan and wisdom mentioned in the same sentence.
No, you have that definition wrong. It's a synonym.
Oh,
actually.
Is that? Oh, well, thank you very much.
If you play Thesaurus on Quiz Up. Watch out for those synonyms and those anonyms.
That's right.
They
get you
messed up.
They'll get you.
Maybe I'm going to cry on radio.
No, Sam, no.
So, you know, we were talking about this earlier, and the fact that this pope is doing things that no other pope that we know, at least in our lifetimes, has done.
Yeah.
Kind of gotten outside of the protective bubble and all that kind of stuff like that. I think one of the reasons that he is resonating so much with people today and getting some really good positive attention is because, in my observation and some of my reading and stuff, what I've come to believe is and understand is that the millennial generation
mm-hmm.
Has a desire for authenticity.
Yes.
They don't really care about polished. They want real. That's why youth praise bands that arguably are not the greatest performing artists, mm-hmm. and you know, because they're young and they haven't practiced a lot, maybe, or they're just starting out, but their peers love that because it's their peers and they know them and they're real in the context of leading the singing of the whole worship context.
That's a huge point.
Yeah, and so we're looking for people to be more personable.
Yeah, personable and genuine and real. We don't. And the other thing about that, I've said this for years to when I've done youth worker trainings, I tell them, I said, kids can spot a phony a mile away.
Mm. It's true.
And what they want from you more than right answers and all, and they need right answers, but what they want from us as adults is real, is genuineness.
Yeah.
And consistency. They don't want us to act like we have it all figured out, because none of us do. What they want to do is see what we do with those struggles and those bumps that come in our life and how we respond to those kind of things. And
that's
so it's
true.
Kind of an interesting thing. I mean, even think about the music that we listen to today. Some of the popular music and stuff, it's not what we would call it's polished in that, I mean, it's done by professional musicians. And so mm-hmm. those guys are – that's their life, and they practice, and they're outstanding musicians. But it has more of a rawness to it as opposed to a polished and – a studio-produced kind of thing, even though they're produced in the studio. But it's the difference between a super... What was it? You call it, Teo, you call it a sheen.
Yeah,
like
pop sheen.
A pop sheen where like there's this... make everything sound perfect. You don't hear any imperfection. When I remember as a kid even listening to some of my favorite bands that I was growing up, and I'd put my headphones on and I'd crank it up real loud so I could listen to it carefully because I want to hear all the different parts and the chords and everything. And I could hear a missed part on a lick that most... That unless you're listening for it, you don't hear that kind of stuff. You miss it. Well, they didn't go back and record that to make it sound perfect. That was part of the experience, and it just sounded raw. Of course, it was recorded analog back in those days, so it sounds raw anyway, which there's a coolness about that, too.
Very cool.
Instead of being overproduced and clean, this authenticity, the realness of the music, the genuine sound, this raw sound. Because if you were just sitting in here and we had a cajon and a guitar and an acoustic bass and maybe a mandolin or something, it would sound raw. We'd have a couple of picking places that we missed or whatever, but it would be fun and it'd be cool. And I think there's kind of been a shift, and I think it has a lot to do with this millennial generation and their desire for authenticity. There's been this shift to realness as opposed to polished or facade or fake kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of my observation on what I see going on with this new pope. If he's gonna be the spiritual leader of the Catholic Church, then he's, and he is, but he's doing it by example, not just because he's the pope, but because he gets out and does things and cares for
real
people.
He's
being real, and I think that's one of the things that some of the younger folks are particularly really resonating with.
I think so too, and it's funny because you see the popular, like, or the shift in popular culture. I guess you could say you use MTV as an example. When I grew up, or growing up, it was mostly music videos.
Right.
Now, there were different shows focusing on different, you know, like genres or whatever of videos. And then, like at night, there would be The Real World and maybe a couple of other, like, quote-unquote reality shows. Well, then those shows started taking off, you know, and it was like True Life... I'm 16 and pregnant, or something like that. And then that became its own show.
Right.
And then you had, like,
Fear.
Yeah, you had MTV's Fear, which scared the daylights out of you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the Real World started getting all these imitators on other channels.
Yeah,
and even on MTV itself. And then reality TV, we went from having talk shows, quote-unquote, in the middle of the day to, you know, like Maury Povich or Jerry Springer or whatever. And then that's everything
everywhere
we're seeing at night. And now there are whole networks
channels
dedicated
like
to reality
TV. Like the Food Network, where everything is like Cupcake Wars and make
but
this
then
food crazy.
You see the shift now, because most of the popular ones are scripted, and everybody knows they're scripted.
Duck Dynasty.
And so people they watch it because it's funny, and it's because it's reality, but we all know it's not really reality.
And it may not be scripted in the sense like a writer didn't sit down and write the whole script, but it's scripted in the fact that
it's
either outlined or it's plotted. That's a better way to describe it, or it's edited that way.
Yeah.
You know, they shoot for hours.
Yes.
And you get 30 minutes worth of dialogue.
Because to say that they watch Duck Dynasty for like 30 minutes, or they film them for 30 minutes. No, they really do follow them around, but they have a plot. They have a goal to meet.
They
have an outline.
And it's
like
that. It's like that with all of the reality shows have an element of that to it. And then you've got shows like Survivor, and some people say, well, that's real. Yeah. And it is real in the sense that in the end, I'm going to have this alliance, but in the end, I'm going to get rid of you because I want to win the money. You know, it's kind of like the Hunger Games thing. I'm going to be friends with you until eventually, you know, I'm going to have to kill you.
Right. And what's funny is now we've gone through years of like reality, but now we have those shows are starting to lose ground. You look at the vast majority of those shows and they're disappearing, you know, but now we like authentic, like I guess for real shows are starting to become more and more and more. Or you have them just like super scripted where we all know they're fake.
Right.
And you look at, and it's just like you said, like people are flocking to this Pope because he is being an actual servant leader.
Yeah.
And Petey Green on Facebook echoes that. They say, I like what the Pope is doing. However, it should be the norm for church leaders to want to serve the people, denounce leaders feeding off of people's money, to be among the people and not lord over them.
Yes.
And that's so true. Yeah. That should be the norm.
And that can be done in simple little ways. Like, I've traveled all over our state, and I've seen a bunch of different parking lot situations.
Mm.
And one of the things that's always interesting to me is if you drive up to the church and there's a spot that says, reserved for our pastor, and it's right at the front, right by the building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I got a problem with that.
Yeah.
When I was on staff, at first, at one of the churches I serve, at first I was told, this is how we operate as a staff. And we park as far away from the building as possible. Because we want our guests and our church members to have the closest parking spots to the building. So, at first I was like, well, okay. And then I realized, you know, this is a perfect way of setting an example. And it's just parking. But it's a good way of setting an example of servant leadership. I am on staff of this church, and I don't want any special treatment. In fact, I'm going to park so far away that I'm going to walk. I have to walk further to get, which, you know, it's not that big a deal. I like walking.
And running.
I love that, too. But that whole thing of if you're going to be a leader, then don't tell people how to lead. Show them how to lead. Just like in you know, when the whole Band of Brothers thing came out, the book and the movies and all that, the miniseries on that movie network. And one of the things that Captain Winters always said, he's the guy that I read a book about him called Captain Winters. He's the big brother of the Band of Brothers is what they refer to him as. And he always said, because this is the Army's, officers go first. You know, some people say the officers, you go get them, boys. But these officers, the combat officers, they led their troops into battle. They didn't stand behind them and send them off into battle.
Wow.
So that's kind of the same thing. If we're, as a leader, I'm not just going to send people out in to serve. I'm going to
do it.
Come with me as I'm
Absolutely.
Serving.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you how to. Now, there's somebody, you know, leadership also involves making decisions, and you have to give direction and stuff. But it's easier and it's more well-received when you're giving instruction while you're doing it with them, rather than just standing behind him going, no, don't do it. You're not doing it right. You're not doing it right. You know, that kind of thing like that. So
that's
kind
of one of the most fascinating things, I think, about Jesus's picture of leadership. Because, for real, the Jews were expecting a military might. They were going to take the land back from the Roman government. And then Jesus comes in and says, no, the first will be last. The last will be first. You know, if you want to lead, you need to be washing feet. You need to be a servant. And it, and nobody got it. And to this day, we don't get it. We're like, what? Because it's anti-humanity. It's opposite, you know?
For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom.
Exactly. We got a phone call?
Yes, we're talking about the Pope. He made the Rolling Stones cover.
Woo!
That's amazing. Give us your thoughts. 338-3700. Static.
Yeah, I will say that, yeah, I would have to agree. The Pope has definitely been doing a lot of big things. I'm not sure if I would count as the millennial generation. I'm not sure where the age of their breaks off. But one thing I've noticed, because me personally, I'm more of an internet person, I'm a gamer, but the same way that people, like you're saying about the realism, and people were liking to see, you know, liking to see things, well, there may be a general direction, you know, not everything's, like, set out. And I've noticed that same thing, too, with stuff like a lot of how people entertain themselves, too. Like, now you have things like Twitch TV where people now game, you know, people now just stream themselves, you know, playing games, and you know what I mean? And you kind of have to be there to catch things as it happens, you know? And it's actually more of a good feeling, because you know you're not just getting something, you know you're not getting, you know, while the camera's on, this guy's this way, and then the camera turns off, and, you know, he's somewhere completely different, you know? And that's what I enjoy. That's what I like about kind of what the Pope is doing now, is that you get the feeling that, oh, well, you know, when the cameras are off, he's not a different guy. You know, he's still, he is being the leader that we, you know, that Christ called us to, calling us to be, you know? And so it feels, it's really, really fulfilling. So.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Thanks for your thought.
Thank you.
And we also have to be careful, because it's easy to mask authenticity for a little while.
Totally.
So true.
We can mask it. We can make it sound good. But the proof comes over time.
Proof in the pudding.
And it can. I almost said that. I almost said the proof is in the pudding.
Everybody in Mississippi just totally got it.
But I thought,
I don't get it.
Well, because the proof is in the pudding. Do you like pudding?
Yes.
Well, then you should find out. Get a snack cup today, you'll find the proof
Is in the pudding.
I have a book. My mom gave me a book, or somebody in my family gave me a book for Christmas, and it's where those little cliche sayings came from. I'll try to find that one.
I'm going
to
look it up
and I'll
right
let
now.
You know.
Thank you.
Go ahead with what you're
so saying. Anyway, to mask authenticity, we can hide it, and it can even be hidden for a few years. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In other words, we say all these things and say all these things and do all these things, and in the beginning we may have believed that and may have started out that way, but something has happened and we've kind of gotten off of that. And then when something happens that shows our real self, then that's when the proof is in the pudding.
That's true.
As to whether they are real or not. I heard, I read somewhere where a CEO, I don't know if this is a real story or not, so it could be just a parable, but it makes a great point. A CEO would take prospective new executives to lunch as part of the interview process, and he would say, "You drive."
Ooh.
And he would watch them, and they didn't know this, but part of the interview was him watching how they handled traffic situations.
Oh, so true. So
where the road rage came out.
I would fail so fast.
Me too. I was like, dang, I would never get a job. And it's not that I have road rage. I just can't stand stupid drivers. But the point is that he would watch, and if this executive showed patience and calm and didn't cut people off and didn't get mad when something else happened or just kind of acted normal in a traffic situation like that, they might be more likely to be hired. And that's real, you know, when stress comes on us, that's when who we really are comes out.
Sure. And that's a good way to go about it, because they're already driving their potential boss on their own interview to go eat.
Right.
That's high stress already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so there's an element of tension there that exists. So it's just kind of an interesting thing to we're looking for authenticity, and we can be fooled into thinking somebody is truly authentic.
Totally can.
And then when something happens, it destroys that. You know, it takes a lifetime to build trust, and one little thing to destroy trust. That's it. And authenticity is related to that. You can say all these things, but then one thing, and then it can destroy it. And it can be reestablished.
Mm-hmm. It's just going to take a while.
And then also, from a believer's perspective, we need to practice grace and make sure that when somebody we know is pretty much authentic, and it's just one time that they blow it, or one thing they didn't react like we thought they should react, let's give them a little grace and say, okay, well, up to this point they've been authentic.
Yeah.
So let them show a pattern of non-authenticness.
Yeah.
I think I just made that
inauthenticity?
Up. When they're, oh, I don't know if that's a real
what?
Word, but
I
that
don't
worked.
Know.
No, that's
that sounds
that's
good.
That's a real word.
Way to go.
Dictionary.com.
Yeah, go
I
right
am
now.
Authentically
check it out.
Surprised.
But we also need to show grace to that, because, you know, the truth is God has shown us grace in those kind of things in our lives, man, when we've had inconsistency, and we want to live that out. And I don't mean that as a Jesus juke.
No,
I
not
just,
at all.
I just as part of being authentic. And it's part of the process of God molding and shaping us into what he wants us to be.
See, that didn't even sound like a Jesus juke, because nope, you were being authentic. I think that's the thing about Jesus jukes.
They're not authentic.
No, they're not.
No, it's more like, of a, hey, but wait a second. Just before you think that person's so profound and smart, look at me.
Yeah.
Come back over
You know,
here.
That's funny, because like I was thinking about this the other day. Because the I was making a joke to my wife about something, some kind of my understanding of science kind of a thing. And I got to thinking that sometimes when you try to make a joke, then it's not just Jesus jukes, but it's fact jukes.
Yep.
Like you make some kind of funny comment about water, and you're just making a pun or whatever, and they say, actually, the chemical makeup of water. So it's not just Jesus jukes that happen. But
when I was a kid, it was called know-it-all or smarty pants.
Oh, there you go. A smarty pants juke.
Which is why I'm going to play the ultimate joke on my son and name him Noah Lott.
There you go.
And then when he's a kid, everybody's going to hate him.
Who are you? I'm Noah Lott.
Maybe this won't work out so well. I feel like he'll end up resenting me. So
he'll either be a good fighter or he won't have any friends at all. You know, or both. I went to college with a friend whose last name is Drops, and he teased about having kids, and he was going to name Gum.
Oh, my God.
Gum Drops.
That's
and Lemon. Lemon Drops. But he didn't do that.
Oh, that's pretty
great. Going off what you were saying, it's so important now as Christians. Because people, just like you were saying, you know, we can put on a great face. And this has been something that's been in the church since the establishment. Yeah. You know, you see Paul call out Peter in the Bible for putting on a face.
Right.
And putting on a mask in front of certain people, which is so interesting. You know, a lot of times we read the books and it's like, this is God's word. And you forget that there's also the humanity of it, too. And that's part of the wonder of God's word, is that it's such a perfect showcase of humanity.
Yeah.
And because you see even the apostles and the disciples fought with each other and they argued. And you see Jesus in the background just like shaking his head, tweeting, shaking my head, you know, to
SMH.
Heaven.
Tweeting.
Hashtag SMH.
These disciples are crazy.
That's right.
But it's so important now. And that's... It's like the church is having to do, the church as a whole.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about like all, you know, the denominations, like the Christian church
as a whole.
The
followers of Jesus. Yes. Yes.
We're having to do this huge about face, because for so long we've had on this face.
Yeah.
Of we've got it all together. We've got everything under control. If you trust in Jesus, everything's going to be fine. And even though we've said, you know, oh, well, no, it's not going to be perfect. But we've insinuated that we're doing great.
Yeah.
So it's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, you're not doing great.
Yeah.
You're just as messed up as I am.
Yeah.
Why do I need something else? Why do I need to believe in Jesus if you're just as messed up as I am?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like you were saying, that's where the authenticity of grace has to come in.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, even though we are both messed up and I'm just as messed up as you, there's an answer to it. And this is what it is. It's this incredible, huge grace that, you know, washes over everything and it runs under everything like a river, and it's peace, you know, because that's the difference. Like if you have a relationship with God through Christ, you have peace at the end of the day, and everything's so messed up and you're such a train wreck and everybody around you is such a train wreck, but there's peace.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't have that. And we forget about that because we're too busy calling out, you know, well, that's a sin and that's a sin and that's a sin and this is a sin. And I don't know, just that authenticity, that's what people are craving right now. And it's not like a license to go do whatever you want at all.
Well, even Paul talks about we can do anything we want, but not everything's beneficial for us.
Exactly.
And as we walk with the Lord, we as God transforms our hearts and changes us into what he wants us to be, our behavior flows out of that. You know, our new behavior, the way God changes us is by changing our heart, and it affects the way that we live our lives.
Yeah.
You know, We have the freedom to do anything we want.
We do,
but it's not going to be helpful to us. It's not going to help us in our witness. We have to consider a whole bunch of other things besides just saying it's my YOLO. You know,
YOLO.
It's my life. I can do anything I want. Well, yeah, that's true, but not everything is going to be good for you. Nor is it going to be good for the greater cause of spreading the gospel. And so we have to keep that stuff in mind. And well, you're limiting my freedom. No. I'm just asking you to be responsible with your freedom.
Yeah.
I'm just asking you to be an authentic, genuine follower of Christ and be a witness and live for his glory and his honor.
Yeah.
And be loving and gracious towards others, just like Jesus is loving and gracious towards you. We have this problem of we say, saved by grace, for it is by grace you've been saved. And that's true.
Yep.
But we forget that we're also sustained by grace. Mm. It's not we get saved by grace and then we have to stay saved. We have to do all this stuff to keep our salvation. We're sustained in the grace that he's given us in that initial encounter with him when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, invite him into our life to be our Lord and Savior. But then he sustains us and helps us and carries us through that for the rest of our lives as he's continuing to transform us and make us into what he wants us to be.
Yeah.
And we just get caught up in this. And I think you're right, Teo, about the church as a whole. In the last few years, it's been some tough lessons for us to learn about being real. Mm. You know, pastors who are now real. There's some famous, quote-unquote famous, which I have issues with some of that too, but that's a whole other discussion. Famous Baptist pastors who are writing some good books and some guys that I really am learning a lot from some of those guys and the insight that they have in Scripture. But one of the things that I really like about them is they're real.
Yeah.
This one book that I read that really, I had to read it slowly because my eyes would swell up because I felt like it was blacking my eye every time I read a chapter.
Wow.
Was a book called Not a Fan by this guy named Kyle Idleman.
Oh, I've seen that book.
And as I'm reading that, I'm going, this guy is describing me. He's describing me and the struggle that I've had in my life since I've been in ministry and my whole life anyway. Mm-hmm. But what really struck me was that it was written from a point of authenticity. Mm. He had to experience this journey himself before he could ever write that book. Mm. And that's why it resonated with me. Because it was just a... I'm telling you, my eyes were hurting for weeks as I read that book because I just couldn't see after... You know, I felt like Rocky. Yo, Adrian, just cut me, Mick. Just cut me, so I could read another chapter because it was tough. But it's a really, really good book. And there's others like that too. I'm not just trying to. I don't get any money from Kyle Idleman's selling of his books, but it's a great book. It's a great book. That's He's got cool. a new one out called God's at War. God's at War, and it's about idols in our lives. And I haven't read it yet. It's sitting on my desk with a bookmark in the preface, ready to start.
There you go.
Maybe I'll start it this morning.
You never know.
There you go. Could be today's the day, Sam.
That's right. Today
we are hanging out talking about the Pope. Believe it or not, that's really what we're talking. The Pope made the cover of Rolling Stones magazine, and some people are in an uproar. Some people are really okay with it.
Yeah.
And we're going on about authenticity. Tell us what you think. 505-338-3700 or get your thoughts in your real thoughts.
Your
authentic thoughts. Facebook.com/myaesthetic radio. We're going to get to some music now. Number One Gun, Get a Little Weird.
All right.
We'll be right back. Team Awesome Morning Party.
Right now.
On Static.
But when we are apart, I'm feeling too.
Turn this down.
No, why?
You messed it up.
I thought this was a music station.
This Sam Swan.
I'm just kidding.
She feels disrespected, America.
I'm just kidding.
You're listening to Static Radio.
Defensive much?
Defensive much?
Mitch, Teo, this guy.
This guy. She's not even going to say my name.
His name is Sam.
Sam Swan from the Baptist Convention of New Mexico. Bleh.
I just. Wait, is that for me or for the convention? Be careful now.
No, you. Oh, that was you. No. Baptist Convention of New Mexico. Ding. Sam
okay.
Swan. Bleh.
Okay. I'm just kidding. Stephanie Swan Wilkerson. Her first CD that she bought with her own money. Was an NSYNC CD.
Aww, you know what?
She
Stephanie.
Texted me that. I
that
showed
is
Mitch
amazing.
The text.
And I clapped.
She said, tell Mitch, I'm totally with her on
I'm
the NSYNC
her,
stuff.
I'm with her.
Okay, my first, that's where I kind of differ a little bit. My first CD that I bought, Boys to Men Evolution.
Oh, okay.
With my own money.
Okay.
That's what I bought. Hey, don't
turn I'm just turning
down.
It. It's just
Gosh.
A little too loud. I can't remember the first CD I bought with my own money.
I didn't. No, the no. first CD I got, I didn't buy with my own money. It was a Christmas present, and it was with one of the first CDs that ever came out.
Whoa!
Because the first thing I bought with my own money, was a 45 record.
Yeah, record
of Barry Manilow.
Wow,
that's great.
At the Copacabana.
At the Copa. I had a lot of Christian music. I think I had some Audio Adrenaline, DC Talk. I remember my first few CDs that were. Not Christian music. I know Third Eye Blind Blue was in there.
Yes.
And probably like Blink-182 or something like that. People were probably listening going, what did you do?
And they did this. It's off. Nope.
Turn it off.
We're not letting the demon in through the radio.
You let the demon in the sound system.
Speaking of, well, not really.
What?
Oh.
Nice segue.
Let's segue to something else before you do that.
Like terrible. Okay, terrible segues. My specialty.
Yeah, amen. Gosh, anyway.
I was going to say Rolling Stone.
We have not been talking about demons. We've been talking about the Pope, who is acting quite like a saint.
Yes.
Actually, he's going around and he's helping the homeless and he's being a servant to people. And
he's made
the cover of Rolling Stone.
He's made more news headlines ever than I've ever known of any other Pope.
And it's for his grace and his servanthood and... He's just turning things up, you know, just up on end, and everybody's freaking out.
So we got your thoughts. Facebook.com/MyAesthetic Radio. And if you still have thoughts, because you were calling a while off air.
Yeah, people always call when we're off air.
You're like, no, don't do that. Call back.
Come back. If you want to call in, please feel free. It's 505-338-3700.
Yes, sir.
Please call. We got a couple comments on Facebook. Michael says he thinks he has tattoos, wears V-necks, and sports socks with sandals.
Oh.
I don't know, sir. I don't know. Katrina says she wished it would have been Billy Graham instead because he has done more for the world than anyone else. And,
No, that was Jesus.
Who knows? Do we have a phone call?
We do.
All right.
Static.
Yeah, what's going on, you guys? How you guys doing this morning?
Doing good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for answering.
Yeah.
So I just had a comment pretty much on the topic. I mean, I don't know what the... As far as people are saying it's the Antichrist and it's this and that, honestly, I just think I'd rather see whatever religion. If you're a man of God, you know what I mean. Like Pope, pastor, it doesn't really matter. I mean, at least they're glorifying something other than everything, you know, other than something that's blatant in your face blasphemy. You know what I mean? At least the Rolling Stones put a man that's actually doing something good. Whether you're Catholic, Christian, it doesn't. I mean, to me, it's just saying that. I take this as a positive, like, you know what? There are media outsources out there that will, you know, go, you know, stand in the gap, and if they feel something's right, they'll put them on the front page of their cover, and who doesn't look at Rolling Stone?
Yeah, it's definitely a change-up, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah, I wish we could put more, you know, but there's a lot of things that pastors do and missionaries do that honestly are rocking every single day that I wish we could...
Yeah.
You know, glorify them for, but you know, their glory will be in heaven, dude. But I think it's cool. I think people should take it as a positive instead of always looking at the negative. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Only God knows his hearts and his intentions. You know what I mean? So,
that's true. Very true. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Next phone call.
Yeah.
We'll get to it. Static.
Yeah, I have a comment about what you were talking about, the Pope.
Yeah.
I was raised a Roman Catholic and went to 12 years of Roman Catholic school.
Okay.
And, I agree with you 100% about authenticity. I'm 54 years old and been reading the Bible for, I don't know, since 1980. And every church I go into, it's the same thing. I agree with you about the authenticity, but what the Roman Catholic doctrine preaches is totally against God's word.
Oh, yeah.
And this particular man that's been elected and put in that position, if you look at what he says, is also in direct contradiction to the Word of God. So, you know, as far as being authentic, agree with you 100%. And that's what my kids are all in, the 30 and under generation. And that's exactly what they want. They're almost a repeat of the hippie generation in the sense that, and that was my older sisters were, is they don't want to go on, you know, quote-unquote status quo. And I love that about them, that they want answers and they want truth. But unfortunately, they've been raised in environments where truth hasn't been lived, it's just been taught. So I agree with you 100% about the authenticity, but not about the Roman Catholic doctrine.
Gotcha.
And, you know.
Do you have any, like, specific references maybe I could go look at where you're talking about, where he's talking about stuff that's, you know, like, contradicting Bible? I just want to check it out.
Yeah, I actually was looking that up myself a couple weeks ago about a statement he made, and he's made a couple of statements regarding... you can get to heaven without being a Christian. You can get to heaven atheist. Oh, don't worry, because you can still get to heaven. And then one of the biggest things, of course, the proponents of the Roman Catholic doctrine, where God specifically refers to them, to their organization, is the whole where God talks about you know, they're going to forbid to marry and don't go along with that. And when you look at that, they have ruined so many lives through purporting that lie over and over again. So many young boys' lives have been ruined. But those are the two statements that he's made, I think, within the last 5 or 6 months. And then the whole thing about your quote-unquote, what is it, your sexual orientation. That's the way the word refers to it.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely been controversy on both sides of the whole thing.
And God is so clear. And, you know, I just say to people, you know, I didn't create man. God did. So if you want to argue with someone, go with him. I'm just, you know, argue with him. I'm just the messenger.
Yeah.
You know,
take it back to his word and see what he says.
Yeah.
Thank
hey, thanks
so
for calling.
Yeah, thank you so much for your call. We're going to totally look into some of those. I've heard some of those statements, too, but I've read them. Going back to the sources, none of them were reputable, but we'll totally look into
that
as well.
We got another call.
Want to take this as the last call?
Sure. Hello? Hello?
Static!
Hello?
Static!
Hey!
Hello, hello.
Hi.
I have a comment about listening to everybody about putting on the pastors and stuff. And I truly believe that God's mercy is so unboundable that nobody knows what God will have planned for all this.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for telling us.
Yeah, thank you.
God bless.
God bless.
Have a great day.
We love your opinions. We love it when you call in, when you post on Facebook.
Truth.
Because it's important to know what you guys think. You
Don't
guys are the star
it.
Of the station. We're just here trying to play some good music.
Yeah, 338-3700 is our number if you want to give us a phone call, or facebook.com/mystaticradio if you can't get to it. As Teo and Sam Swan would say, the proof is in the pudding.
The proof is in the pudding.
And we don't know what
Were
that
you going to look that up?
I looked it up. I looked it up because earlier Sam and I were making a point, and we told Mitch the proof is in the pudding, and she was like, what
Shit.
Does that mean?
No
that
idea what
mean?
We were talking about. And then I don't know. We've just been using that phrase for a long time.
So I thought Sam and I were like, well, we better look it up. Check it out. This actually dates back to, the Oxford Dictionary of Quotations dates it back to the early 14th century, albeit without offering any supporting evidence for that assertion. The phrase is widely attributed to Cervantes in the History of Don Quixote. Oh. It appears to be by virtue of an early 18th century translation by Peter Matteau, which has been criticized by later scholars as a loose paraphrase, blah, 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 blah. The earliest printed example of the proverb that this source could find, and this is just on the internet Googling it, was in William Camden's Remains of a Greater Work Concerning Britain, 1605.
Oh.
And it is there. It says, all the proof of a pudding is in the eating. So it's not that we've been saying a shortened version of the phrase,
shortened.
And this article actually says that the way we said it, the proof is in the pudding, is incorrect.
And so the proof is in the eating of the pudding.
It's supposed to be. Well, if we were saying the shortened version correctly, we would be saying the proof is of the pudding.
Of the pudding.
Ah.
But the whole phrase is all the proof of a pudding is in the eating. And this is why. Because it's worth remembering, and this is a quote from this website, phrases.org. It's worth remembering that as the phrase is quite old, the pudding wouldn't have been a sticky toffee pudding from a sweet trolley. No, it would have been a potentially fatal savory dish.
Whoa,
check it out.
Fatal.
In Camden's listing of proverbs, he also includes, if you eat a pudding at home, the dog may have the skin, which suggests that the pudding he had in mind was some form of sausage. The OED, I don't know what that is, describes a medieval pudding as the stomach or one of the entrails of a pig, sheep, or other animal.
Gross!
Stuffed with a mixture of mincemeat,
I am
suet,
never having pudding again.
Oatmeal, seasoning, etc., and boiled. Those of you who have ventured north of the border on Burns Night, I don't know, this is in the UK, so obviously they know these locations, will recognize this as a fair description of a haggis, the great chieftain of the pudding race.
Yes.
So I guess when they were talking about pudding, it was more of a haggis thing.
Yeah.
As Burns called it in the poem Addressed to a Haggis, 1786, medieval peasants faced with a boiled-up farmyard massacre might have thought a taste test to have been a wise choice.
Gosh.
So when they were saying the proof of the pudding is in the eating, it was whether or not it was good or it killed you.
Well, I was hungry. Now I'm not.
The proof is of the pudding.
The proof is in the pudding.
We're supposed to be of the pudding and not in the pudding.
That's right.
I mean, the in the pudding but not of the... I don't know how that works.
Of the pudding but not in it.
Well, it was cleared up and now it's all backtrack, backsliding.
I am going to go get a Jell-O pudding pop right now. After
Juan,
I get off air,
you
I'm
have
going
to go.
One.
You have to go. And
I do.
It's been
I'm
a blast.
Sorry.
We have some of the best conversations ever with you.
Well, thank you. I truly look forward to Friday mornings. It's a lot of fun for me.
Yeah.
It's been a good morning.
Good
radio. Good radio, as we say off air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Great radio.
Hey, good radio. We're doing a good job, guys.
We did it.
Way to go, team.
Thanks for coming
in,
Sam.
Hey, of course.
Hopefully we'll see you next week.
See you next week?
Yeah.
Maybe Steve-O will be back.
Yeah, hope so.
Maybe.
We'll see.
We never know.
We never know.
Where are we going, Mitch?
We're
going
to take a break, do some legal things, and then we'll be right back either talking about the Pope or snakes.
We have a snake story that I want to get to.
And they are not related at all.
Yeah, if this is happening, then I might be just out on reality. You never know.
I don't know about this.
Yeah.
We'll get to it. Team Awesome Morning Party?
No!
Static.
That show is the broadcast equivalent of being punched in the face.
Team Awesome Morning Party. On Static Radio.
Traffic report for you and for me. We're having a good day because it's Friday.
Good try.
Loose rhyme.
Good try.
But it worked.
It did.
I messed up halfway through, but it's okay. I recovered. Recoup!
Go!
Traffic update, guys. Right now, things are looking pretty good. I thought we had an accident to report, but it seems to have been cleared. So we have the construction at I-25 and Paseo. Be careful around there. It's still a little slow going around it, but most everything else looks great. If you see an accident or something and you don't hear us talk about it, because a lot of times our computer misses it, or we'll get in a conversation and not cover the traffic, feel free to call in 505-338-3700 and let us know what you see. You be our eyes on the road, and we'll be your people at the radio.
Traffic sponsored by Solomon's Porch, Calvary Albuquerque, 4001 Osuna Road. That's the campus it's on.
That is.
And their phone number, 505-338-3669. I'm always a little conflicted about traffic because I want there to be something to report, but I don't want anybody to be hurt.
That's true.
So, confliction 101.
Speaking of phone calls, we've got one.
Static.
What is up, my dudes?
Shane!
Dude, I don't want to freak you guys out.
Oh, no.
But I'm driving down the road. I just got passed by a piranha-shaped Indiana Jones ball of boiling snake ship
Shane,
from outer space.
What? Shane!
And it looked like it was headed for Static Radio's roof.
What are you doing?
So,
Shane, everything you just said is my worst nightmare.
It's on its way, and it looked like a piranha was driving said ship.
No!
Yeah.
Shane, I'm just glad you called to tell me this, because if you were the last person I got to talk to, I'd be totally down.
You better stay on the phone.
See, dude, you're the man, dude.
No, you
because I love you guys, man.
I love
man.
You guys!
Dude, you guys have an amazing day today,
and I will
talk to you later.
Yeah, sounds thanks
good.
For calling in.
Thanks, Shane.
All right, guys. Later.
And that, my friends, is how you do it, because we're about to share the most terrifying snake story you'll hear all day. Guaranteed. At least from me, right now, this morning.
Here's what we really want to talk about.
What?
Not that, actually, at all. So.
You love JT so
much. I love JT, but that's not what I want to talk
about.
He
permeates your conversations.
It's true. Actually, we want to talk about...
Sports!
Not sports.
We want to talk about snakes! 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 Everybody hates them because they're snakes! They're gonna kill you! They are snakes! I hate them. And we have a snake story.
Okay, ready, go.
Guys, this is crazy. Let's just talk. That sounded like a rattlesnake. That freaked me out, Mitch. Snakes. Flying UFO-shaped snakes. It sounds like something you'd hear in a late-night horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like a B-movie, like on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Uh-huh.
Like Sharknado. UFO snake.
What?
But some snakes really do sail through the air and look like UFOs in the process.
According
to research, the study published in the latest Journal of Experimental Biology helps to explain how such snakes in the genus Chrysopelea can remain airborne for up to 100 feet in their Southeast Asia rainforest habitats.
And now you have to try and sleep with that knowledge.
Number one, it says Southeast Asia. We live in the Southwest USA.
It doesn't matter. If they can fly for 100 feet at a time, they can make their way here.
What if the rest of them learn how to do it? Oh my gosh! The snakes launch from seemingly any position on a tree. They don't have to be at the end of a branch.
Anywhere.
They're like, hey, what's this? Oh, I'm flying! I'm a snake! They're flexing their ribs as they initiate a glide, then they stretch and flatten their bodies from a circle into an arc semicircle.
Back up. They flex their ribs?
Yes.
Ah!
It looks like someone's version of a UFO. This is a quote from co-author Jake Soka of Virginia Tech's College of Engineering. This was in a press release. The snakes launch themselves into the air to move around their treetop home and to escape predators.
Wrong.
They are mildly venomous.
Mildly venomous.
Prefer to take flight rather than fight.
Well, some of them.
Page two. No, go ahead.
Well, predators.
Yeah.
I feel like you would beg to disagree.
Yeah, I would.
Predators.
Heck yeah.
They are. Aren't they the predators?
Guys, look. There is a snake in the southeast. It's a water moccasin, also known as a cottonmouth. Because when it opens its mouth, we need scary music.
Okay.
Can you cue up some? Wait, you just passed
it. This one.
No, this one.
And go.
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 Nothing.
Go.
That was...
Oh, junk. I didn't know that would stop. We're going to try it again. Ready? And go.
Scary music. There it is. There's a snake in the southeast. It's called the water moccasin. Also lovingly referred to as the cottonmouth. Because when it opens its mouth, it's white.
Ah!
White in there.
Creepy.
And it's venomous, and it is out to kill you and your family. And it lives at the lakes. It's by water. And these things, they are so mean. Number one, if you go back to my Instagram and you go back through pictures, you'll see a picture that I saw on Facebook of somebody that was fishing for catfish and a cottonmouth attached itself. It was biting that catfish, and this thing is huge.
No.
It looks like all of the demons that you have ever seen in anything that live in your nightmares. It is the worst. It goes through the water, and you know when a snake swims, it's like, oh, what is this unreal? And it's coming after you, okay?
Uh-huh.
So, cottonmouths, not only are they terrifying, they're huge, they're strong, they're venomous, they'll get up in trees, and they'll sit there, and they will drop down on their prey. So fishermen,
that's terrifying.
Fishermen will be, because that's where all the good fish are.
Yeah.
They're up under the trees where the roots are. The fish are going in and out. Whoop, 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 whoop. Just keep swimming. Cottonmouth! Because it just dropped out of the tree and it landed in the water and it's eating the fish. But now fishermen, they'll be fishing. Minding their own business. They got a little bob in the water. Boop, boop. Oh, there's a fish on it. There's a fish. What's going to happen, Mitch? Maybe I'm going to catch a fish today. What was that above me? I don't know. It was a cottonmouth because it just dropped down on you. You're struggling. No. Mitch, no. Mitch, save yourself, Mitch.
I'm gone.
Go to
I'm
the
out.
Studio.
I'm out.
Swim away. And then you die. Death by snake.
I'm so sorry.
And then you're standing in line at the pearly gates, and everybody's saying how they died. And then you look over to me and it's like, how'd you die? I got eaten by a dinosaur. It was the coolest thing ever. And then you look at somebody else and they're like, how'd you die? Snake. And then everybody in line turns around and goes, dang. Are you okay? You okay? And then you're like, I'm about to be. I hope. Craziness. Well, anyway, these snakes, this is Southeast Asia.
Okay, but can those water moccasins, when you're like, you're fishing in your boat, can they like climb up into
yes.
your boat?
Absolutely.
Ah, there is no safety. None.
No, it's pretty scary. I have a healthy fear of snakes. We all know it. Well, we'll say unhealthy fear. When I say healthy, I mean large and just terrible and horrifying.
I'm really afraid right
now,
actually.
So to read that there are snakes... Oh, and okay, we're speaking about the weird, gross motion of a snake swimming.
Yes.
We can go back to the creepy sci-fi music if you want to.
Okay, here I go.
The guy that wrote this this study about these flying snakes... He says it looks like they're swimming in the air. They turn their whole body into one aerodynamic...
That's not okay.
...surface. Wow!
Nope. That's not okay.
It speaks to the wonder of creation and also to the terror of my nightmares. Because if I walked outside and there was a snake flying at me, I really wouldn't be able to handle it, Mitch. I would just look at it. I would just stand
would just
there and look
let
at it.
Let it happen.
And I would just be like, gosh, this, I have the worst luck. I would probably look up at the heavens and say, really? Please? Can I?
Really?
Now, since this miracle is happening, can I teleport or something too? Because this is horrifying.
It should have never happened. How did they get to the point of flying?
This, I don't know, but check this out. To determine what's going on up close, because they're trying to figure out how these snakes do this.
Right.
I mean, it's
got
to look like a miracle when you see a snake flying through the air.
You always heard when pigs fly, but no one thought when snakes fly.
It's because we were trying to be super positive, and it just didn't work out. The researchers used a 3D printer to produce a rod with the same cross-section as a snake's body. They then place it across a tank filled with water that flowed over the snake-shaped bar. He explained that although water is much denser than air, it was possible for he and his colleagues to precisely recreate the air conditions experienced as the snakes fly. Mm-hmm. They flowed water over the model at specific range of speeds. Those speeds range from about 8 to 20 inches per second. Slightly tilting the snake model revealed that at most angles, the snake's body generated sufficient lift to account for the impressive gliding.
Wow.
When that rod was flat, however, turbulence created a suction-like force on the snake model, pulling it downward. So maybe the snake does hold part of its body flat at some point, using it as a mechanism for control, like a rudder.
No.
Explaining twisting the body while airborne could allow the snake to fine-tune.
That's the creepiest part, because I looked at videos of this.
Oh, yeah.
The creepiest part of it is that they're still slithering midair.
I'm going to try to find a video on YouTube, but guys, there are snakes in Southeast Asia that are flying around.
They are just flying as if it's no big deal, and there's nothing
doing
we can do.
That is just freaky for me. Oh, man. We're going to take a quick break.
Yeah.
We'll come back in a minute. We're going to have... It's Pay It Forward Friday.
We have a story?
We're going to find a story. Yeah, we got one right over here. And it's all about how we get out there, and we don't just say, yeah, Lord loves me, that's it. But we get out there and we say, hey, he loves you too, and today he loves you through me. Blessing.
It's Pay It Forward Friday. We got to hang out with Sam Swan for a bit if you missed it. Sorry. There's going to be a podcast. And also, it's Justin Timberlake's birthday.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's celebrate.
Flashback Friday, Justin Timberlake in sync.
Oh, don't act like you don't enjoy this.
Senorita, I feel for you.
All right.
Let's go to commercial.
Commercial? How about a song?
Okay.
We're going to play some Campfire, okay?
By commercial, I meant song.
That's exactly what you meant.
Yeah.
Team Awesome Morning Party?
No.
On Static.
We're on a hunt.
Let the broadcasting of the disturbed continue.
Time for more from Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Enjoy the show.
All right, are you guys ready for some music? So let's hear for Justin, Whitney, and the gang singing I'll Take You There. Yeah.
Good morning, everybody.
Flashback Friday, Justin Timberlake.
Happy birthday, Justin.
Today's his birthday, and today is the best day in Mitch's life she has ever had.
Justin Randall Timberlake turns 33 years old from Memphis, Tennessee, and we are so glad you were born.
Oh, my gosh. This is JT when he's a kid on Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah. And I got the jams. Do not even worry, because going from that, I've got this.
This is his Star Search performance.
Yes. And
how old was he?
He's got to be 7 or 8.
This is fresh out of Memphis.
Yeah!
Good grief.
He's like shaking his hips and dancing in this video too.
Ugh.
Flashback Friday.
Flashback Friday. And we got a little in sync for you too. Oh, man.
What?
Man, yesterday when we were loading this music, I promise. I can't lie. I know a lot of these words, too. But we were all singing back here.
Yes, and it was the best. It was my dream come true.
Gonna bring it to the end.
It doesn't matter.
All right. We know, Mitch, today is Friday.
Today is
And we do
Friday.
Flashback Friday. We had Sam Swan in the studio. We're talking about
it's
the Pope.
It's been a good day.
Being on the cover of Rolling Stone. But it's also Pay It Forward Friday.
Woo!
Which is more important than any flashback or, you know, any story we read in Rolling Stone or whatever. Because Pay It Forward is where we actually try to physically show the love of the Lord in the lives of strangers or other people.
That went with the music. Good job.
Thanks, man. It's just an inherent rhythm of God.
Yeah.
Can't help it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't stop.
I know you like that.
This bum, must bum, be. Bum. Bum.
Anyway. We want to talk about a story that we found. I wish we could find that. Okay, it's called Sad Eyes. Can you check it out?
Yeah.
We found a truly inspiring story. This one also coming over from our friends over in Britain. And we'll get this queued up and I'll go into it. That's right. Now take this. Listen to what's going on here. A remarkable reunion took place this week in a room above a pub in central London. It was the first time that Johnny Benjamin and Neil Labron had met in 6 years. Back on that cold, rainy January day, the two young men had only spoken to each other for about 25 minutes. That was it.
Wow.
But they were the 25 minutes that saved Benjamin's life. Because, you see, Labron, walking across Waterloo Bridge on his way to work January 14th, 2008, stopped Benjamin from committing suicide.
What?
Yeah. On Tuesday, Benjamin was finally able to thank him. 6 years later, Labron, a personal trainer, had often wondered what had happened to Benjamin, then just 20, when the attempted suicide and all that had happened, mm-hmm. whom he had talked to and tried to keep calm until the police, called by another bystander, had bundled him up into a car and taken him to the hospital. 2 weeks ago, Benjamin, with the help of the Rethink Mental Illness charity, launched a campaign to find Mike, his nickname for the stranger. Doing so, he decided would not only allow him to close the door on that chapter of his life, but also help to generate more interest in mental health issues in general. The campaign spread quickly thanks to social media. Within 2 days, Labron's fiance saw the story on Facebook and immediately knew that he was Mike, quote-unquote Mike. So the thing was, this guy walking across a bridge, you know, we posted a video a few weeks ago about somebody that was on a bridge and it was a bus driver drove up on somebody that was about to jump off a bridge. And he got out, he stopped the bus, told the kids to stay inside. He got out, he went and he talked to he sat down with the person for a long time until the police showed up. And the sad thing about that was two people on video, on the bus camera, had caught somebody bike by the person and another person had just walked by and this person's standing there about to jump off. And luckily for Johnny Benjamin, Neil Labron he didn't just walk by, he didn't ignore the situation. He saw somebody who was in need, and he stood in the gap there and helped him out. You know, and in this instance, it was just talking to him, just trying to calm him down and let him know that it's not worth just ending it all.
Right.
And, you know, I appreciate the fact that they're raising awareness for mental illness, because a lot of times people just
over it.
Yeah, even...
Oh, that's not real.
Yeah, even if you don't have a mental illness, you can get deeply depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like the only option is to just cut it all off and forget about it.
Right. It seems like the easiest option.
It does seem like the easiest option. But there are devastating consequences to suicide. Mm-hmm. And we just want, you know, this story inspired us because it was this guy noticed what was going on. He wasn't so absorbed with his phone or with his whatever. You know, with all the things going on in his own life, he saw somebody who needed help, and he said, all right, and he put his stuff aside, mm-hmm. whatever was going on with him, and he helped this guy out. And now 6 years later, they've reunited, mm-hmm. and it's an international story.
Yeah, and while that was kind of on a larger scale, you never know how you're going to help someone out just by, you're going through your day, you're getting some shopping done, you're standing at the cashier, they're checking you out, and they are pretty much required to ask, how are you doing today? Did you find everything all right? Mm-hmm. But by indulging just a little bit and talking to them, you could be really making their day and seeing how they are actually doing. It's the little tiny things that people really don't.
When it comes to kindness, I think less is more a lot of times. And we forget about that, mm-hmm. you know, because we think, well, if I had more money, then I could give more money to the poor. You know, if I had this or that, then I could do more. But really, if that's an excuse for you to not do anything, then you're just wasting it, because we can do little things. Like you met, Mitch is in a choral group, and she was out to eat last night.
Yep.
And her waitress turned out to be in the same choral group.
Yeah, and now, I had no idea. It's kind of a bigger group. And there, she looked at me and she said, are you in this group? And I'm like, whoa, yes, are you? And it turned out that we were connected somehow, but I didn't even know it. And thankfully, I wasn't in a bad mood. And who knows? I was being super sweet to this woman. And then it turns out we are connected.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. So we're encouraging you, and, you know, you might not see somebody trying to commit suicide today. It might not be all that serious, but maybe
on the
you're
outside.
Just... Yeah, on the outside. That's the thing. Maybe you're just going to the grocery store, or you're going out to eat, or you're going to the movies, or you're just doing... Maybe you're just at home, and it's a family member, that person, you never know what might be going on the inside. They might be truly hurting. And so it's up to us, especially if you're a Christian, to say, hey, what's going on? Just show a little love to people. Mm-hmm. And that can manifest itself in tons of ways.
Love it.
Leave a little extra tip. Mm-hmm. Strike up a conversation with your cashier. Mm-hmm. You know, let them know that you appreciate them being there. Because if there are not many jobs that are more stressful than being a cashier at like a retail store.
Oh my gosh.
You know about it.
Yes, I do. I was that person for
that person.
A few months. Be a reflection.
Be a reflection of Christ.
Yes.
And with the idea of reflection, we're going to head out.
Yes.
Because it's time for this edition of Team Awesome Morning Party to come to an end.
It's been a good day.
It has been a good day.
We got to talk to Sam Swan. We talked about the Pope. We talked about snakes and an amazing story for Pay It Forward Friday. Remember to pay it forward today.
Yeah. Just do something small for the people around you.
Something small.
Get out of your phone.
You don't have to shell out hundreds of dollars.
No, you don't.
You can't.
Just be kind.
Yeah.
And strike up a conversation.
Coming up in just a bit, Middays with Mitch, because I'm still here.
She is.
It's going to be a reflection, a mirror of Team Awesome, Too Far, Team Awesome.
Of absurdity and sweetness. Sweet, sweet absurdity. Thank you, Mitch.
Thanks
for being on the show yesterday and today.
Yes, no problem. Here for you.
You've had to get up pretty early.
Found it. I did. And I woke up at 1 o'clock this morning freaking out because I thought I was late.
I know. I'm glad you weren't late.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back on Monday with Mr. Steve-O.
Yes.
Back guiding the ship to those fair shores way off in the distance over the horizon. You get it. Have a good weekend.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Goodbye.
Static Radio.
I'm a mirror, oh, I'm in a stereo.